Hey traders, welcome to the Mobile Trader Podcast. I'm your host, JD. Today is June 21st, Friday, and we have a great interview for you. We have Maurice Jackson of Gladstone & Company. The audio was patchy in spots, but it's outstanding content, so tune in and enjoy. A Bitcoin update, a market cap update on that, and I was like, wow, this is some great stuff. I'm gonna talk to this gentleman. Then I saw a few videos that you posted, and I saw Noah. And so, first off, what should our audience call you? I tagged you Mojax the overnight with the overnight update. But what do you go by, Maurice?
I mean, my name is Maurice. I've had people call me Reese, MJ. Nobody but you has called me Mojax, but I kind of like that too. So that one's cool.
Okay, we'll rock. We'll go with Maurice right now, and then I might drop a Mojax on you. But first question I want to get into is, what prompted you to begin posting your nightly market updates?
That's interesting. I really just thought that people could use information. It was something that I was doing on a nightly basis, and kind of just to keep myself honest with myself. You know, kind of to
right.
make sure that I'm doing something for my trading every night and having something to look forward to and something to do and post and to keep a record of. And so I first just started with a couple groups, and then other groups that I joined and got, you know, more involved with, I started posting it to those as well.
Self-accountability and
pretty
keep
much.
You locked in and keep you sharp with the markets or yourself. I mean, it's amazing. It's when we're locked into the broader markets, it's almost like, we're not going to have that rug pulled out from under us, or we're not going to be caught, you know, I guess off guard. And I really appreciate that you're putting that up. It keeps me locked in as well. Tell me this, what is your current investing status and what markets do you frequent?
Well, as far as, investing status, I'm a full-time trader. That's
outstanding.
You know, pretty much what I do. Yeah,
that's the breadwinner, livelihood.
I'm also a musician, so I invest, I guess, a lot of time in my guitar and the two churches that I play for, and you know, a few other bands that I may play for here and there. But so investment, that's pretty much where it is: full time trading and playing guitar.
So the musical discipline, the discipline you need on that side, I mean, I'm sure that carries over into your trade.
Yes, sir, most definitely. I have to stay, you know, I can't mess up a song, so I have to make sure that, you know, it sounds good for the congregation. So I definitely have to stay disciplined and, you know, knowing notes and knowing chords and knowing songs. So, yeah, most definitely.
I know I'm older than you, and there's a joke when I was coming up. It was Robin Harris had the piccolo player joke, man. And it kind of popped in my head, but we won't go that route. We'll continue down this line of thinking. So how many years have you been active in the market, and how many years have you been full-time as a trader?
Well, I've been active, I would say, since 2015, so I say about 4 years, and I've been trading full time since 2017, so 2 years.
That's an amazing you passed that 6 month threshold for a full time trader to blow up an account and just give it up.
So. I blew up a few, so I've been there. I've been down that road two or three or four times, so
yeah, man, that's the market tuition talking to
us,
man.
Sir.
It's like, well, how much will it cost to be a full-time trader? Yeah, you won't know until
you won't know until you know.
Outstanding. Well, I'll tell you this. Was there a particular moment where you said, you know what, it's time to become a full-time trader and make this happen? And on the second part of that, what steps did you take to make that a reality?
That's a very interesting question. It's weird because I think it followed an interesting trajectory right to where I wanted to be anyway. It's right. Just, you know, I guess circumstances kind of led to me making that decision. If I could, like, try to make a long story short, You know, I really first gotten interested in investing through real estate investing, and I got my real estate license in 2007, right before the market crashed. And so, as a young real estate agent in Atlanta, right when the market crashed, I kind of was left out to, you know, fend for myself. So, you know, I guess many long story short, you know, I had to kind of leave that alone and go through different things. But I was still interested in becoming an investor. And that led me to learning about Warren Buffett, which further led me to going back to school and receiving my bachelor's and master's in economics, and really, really learning about investing and becoming an investor. My first, I guess, career start in corporate accounting, and then started my own company from there as far as virtual CFO and taking care of the financial responsibilities for small nonprofits and small businesses. And so through there, I've always kind of been investing or dealing with the finance world. Once I started my business, you know, things were kind of going well, but then I lost a few really key clients and things didn't go well. And what was kind of the nail in the straw, at that time, I was also, you know, I really kind of began digging into trading and option trading. And so I was doing kind of both. And what was the nail in the straw was the name of my company was Trunk Financial. And then Donald Trump got elected. And so I had too many people asking Trump Financial. And so after the fourth or fifth client, you know, back to back that I met with, you know, looked at me funny. Like, I had to make sure you didn't, you know, I realized that I had to make a change and something had to give. I completely did it. And so I realized that working that company, you know, I enjoy working with my clients and I enjoy doing, you know, their financial planning and such. But I really spent a lot of time studying the markets. I'm honest to God, like, I spent more time studying the markets and learning how to trade and learning how to do options than I did working on client work. And so, you know, I would have to, you know, rush at the end of, you know, a deadline or the day before a deadline and work all night to finish client work to make sure that they're taken care of.
Right.
But then spend the entire month, you know. So at that time, when it was time to rebrand, you know, I really decided I was going to go into trading, and I had one more client. And right as I was kind of deciding if I was going to get rid of that client, I got into a car accident, a bad car accident that I didn't expect and kind of took me out the game for a minute. And so sitting at home, I lost my car, lost transportation. I wasn't able to do anything but trade. And so it was like in 2017. And so from then, that was pretty much the. It just kind of led to that. Like everything was leading me towards being a trader. So, sir. I like to be one-on-one with a lot of people. So I'm very active in the few groups that I'm in, and, you know, very active once I get to, you know people.
Wow, we're going to end up splicing this one together. I'm giving Anchor that first chance to do the, you know, the group call over the phone and using technology, but just I wanted to see if you could give our newbies maybe a jump off point to where if they're interested in investing, where would you suggest that they go, or what steps, maybe one or two steps that they could take to move towards investing and possibly trading?
Well, the very first thing is, I guess, conceptually or philosophically, I guess, what I call my company motto, is know what you own and why you own it.
Okay.
I think that applies whether you're day trading, you know, swing trading, and well, you know, I really honestly only consider, you know, either day trading or swing trading. The swing is just going to depend on how long it is. Right. So, you know, position investing, it's still swing trading to me. But no matter what, you still need to learn. I mean, you still need to know what you own and why you own it. As far as to get started, there are a lot of sources. So I would suggest that people take the time to look into, you know, validated literature, validated resources to find, you know, unbiased and accurate information. That's the key, because a lot of information is not good. So
yeah,
you gotta stick with some that are the most unbiased and accurate.
Great answer. I mean, I know a lot of, there's a lot of skepticism in the markets, especially with my circle and family. Well, not family. I can't say family, but just in acquaintances and classmates and things like that. You know, and they gambling or but is there a particular mindset that a trader must have, and is it different than that of a standard investor for you?
No, like I said, I think that they're one and the same. I think that your mindset just needs to be, you know, focused on what you're doing with your funds. Like, you know what you're doing. Know what you're doing.
It's a business, actually. That
exactly.
I mean, we're running it. Well, I'll tell you this. The mindset thought for me is that it's not microwave mindset. Unless you are just an absolute high volume active trader, we're looking at what's your time frame for this particular investment. So know your strategy is what I always mention. That one of the things to everyone. But tell me this, Maurice, what are your two most memorable trading moments, positive or negative?
Most memorable. Okay. Well, I guess most memorable, two definitely stand out. Most positive is what really, you know, kind of got me into trading and investing in this, a class I took in grad school, Georgia State University. It was called Valuation of Financial Assets. And it was basically learning how to value fundamentally stocks, options, futures, you know, all indexes, all pretty much all the different financial instruments. And we were awarded a was to run a paper trading fund, basically. And I was able to take that fund in one semester from $1 million to just over $5 million. And so that kind of got me. That kind of got me hooked, using really, really just picking really good stocks and then using a covered call strategy. Like it ballooned. And that's probably my best memory, because that's what got me hooked. That was like
that was it. Huh? That was it. Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
And my worst is probably, when I traded Tesla. And I saw my win, and greed got the best of me, and I didn't put a stop in, and I saw all my winnings twiddle down to nothing in one day, and I actually had plans for those funds.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was just not a great day. So that's my worst experience. Just waking up in the morning and seeing me up 50%, and then at the end of the day,
it's back down to zero.
I'm down to zero. Oh, that still gut wrench me to this day.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But you know, you live and you learn. You know?
Yeah. And I tell you what, is your wife, is she interested in? Did it take a minute to convince her of what you wanted to do when it came to the market?
No. Well, I can say she's definitely not interested. That's not her, you know, it's not her cup of tea.
Right, right.
Not at all. Even when she asked me about it, you know, I could see her eyes glaze over after a few minutes. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to cut it short.
Bro. Yeah, man.
But, as far as like convincing her, like that's interesting, because our relationship is not really kind of like that. Like, you know, I'm really all for her and rooting for her. Do, and she's all the same for me. We've been able to, you know, back each other up and hold each other down, you know, vice versa when times were needed. So it's never been anything like that. No.
Outstanding. And that's a blessing right there. Well, I tell you, we're going to give you a couple more, man. I'm not going to hold you on this Friday.
Nah, I love it. Thank you.
Well, man, tell me this. One problem that I've come across is that been tough for me to find individuals in my circle who are actively investing, or let alone understand options or even interested in the money markets. Do you have anyone in your circle that you can, you know, sharpen your countenance with, that you bounce ideas off of, who understand your language?
Short answer, no. Like, if I could think about my immediate circle of people right. that I would be able to call on every day and be able to drive and go see and sit down and exactly. talk to, no, I don't. There's nobody, none of my cousins I grew up with, my siblings, you know, parents, you know, everybody talk about they want to invest, or, you know, they know that I study stocks and that I trade, and, you know, I'm gonna get with you, and you know, but it's never that real interest in really putting money into the market. Yeah, so.
That's a tough. I don't know. It's a tough situation to deal with, but it's a relevant situation, mm-hmm. and I think that aspect of having Facebook groups and individuals like yourself where we can reach out to each other is key moving forward, because I think even if it's not our generation, I think for posterity's sake, Noah's generation, my daughter, my son, mm-hmm. that group, because the millennials and the other, you know, whatever Gen X is, they're going to push you to a new level, and we give them those tools and the comfort level and a circle to where they can talk at the dinner table about it without having someone excuse themselves. You know, I think that's going to be special. We're coming down to the last couple. Do you foresee a pending black swan event in the market? And for the audience, man, black swan is just an event that will just send that market into a downward spiral, a tailspin, almost like the financial crisis, the mortgage issues, and do you see anything, or are you prepared?
Man, that's a great question. I definitely can smell rain in the air, if that makes sense.
That makes plenty of sense.
I definitely can smell rain in the air. There are a lot of signs that are there. There are a lot of signs because I now remember, like I said, I have a bachelor's and a master's in economics. So from an economic growth, an economic outlook, there are a lot of things that just don't add up and that shouldn't add up. And so, yes, there's definitely something in the air. Am I prepared as best as I can be?
Right.
That's one thing I think. I guess shorter term swing traders or hedge fund managers or those that trade in the week to month range have an advantage of being able to position better if a black swan event
happens. Quick adjustment.
Better adjustment. So in that sense, I think that I'm ready. But it's funny. I made a comment on Facebook on someone else's comment yesterday that with this administration and this president, he is very, very good at being predictably unpredictable. And so I said that, like, you know, war can pop off this weekend or never.
Exactly.
Or never. And you never know. So trying to bet on the market going down with this president that might be a futile, you know, futile.
It's an endeavor. Overnight. It's an overnight coin flip at times. To be honest with that. Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you this, my three favorite books for me, The Alchemist, The Richest Man in Babylon, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. What are your three favorites? And they don't have to be in the investing vein. It could be just something that may have motivated you or caught your interest.
Okay. I would have to say, I'm going to give you four, actually. Applied Economics by Thomas Sowell.
Oh boy,
that was a book that I read and back in, I think it might have been undergrad, but I love that book because I think his first, sorry about the book.
No problem.
I think his first book was, this book, Applied Economics, it talks about like what next, like, you know, usually people will say, you know, okay, Trump might send a bomb to Iran. Okay, but what next? You know, what happened next after that? And then after that, what next? And so it kind of it really kind of applies the principles of economics in a more forward thinking way. I really that book really kind of opened me up. The second one I would say is Essays of Warren Buffett.
Oh boy.
That one is an excellent book for any financial manager, any business manager, any trader. I'm still a Buffett disciple. I would consider myself, that's my foundation is, you know, value investing and learning about Buffett. So that's a great book.
Okay.
How to Make Money in Stocks by Will O'Neill. That would probably be my second Bible next to Security Analysis.
I didn't add
Security Analysis to that, but Security Analysis and How to Make Money in Stocks by Will O'Neill, like it marries the value investing with the swing trading approach, if you ask me.
Securities analysis.
Yep. How to Make Money in Stocks by Will O'Neill, and then that last book was the autobiography of Malcolm X. I throw that one in there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I read that one. Yeah, I was walking around with a little different angle, you know. And then I read further on it. Yeah, that was a game changer.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Great list. My favorite trading book, I'm not sure if you've read this, but Reminiscences of a Stock Operator.
I've heard of that book. I've read so many, so I don't think Jesse Livermore. Yes, I know the trade. I haven't read that book.
Amazing. And then that's one of the reasons I write down almost when I'm really locked in, I'll write down even though the ticks are the screen, I'm writing it down by hand. So I'll get the tape on my own tape, you know, and you know, I'll miss a few ticks here and there, but when I'm really trying to make a decision on moving now, that book kind of put that on me. What's your favorite? So I guess we're going to go back to, you already blended in your trading books. How to Make Money in Stocks.
If I would say best trading book, that would probably be mine. How to Make Money in Stocks by William O'Neill. And William O'Neill is the author and the creator of the Investor's Business Daily newspaper. Yes.
Really?
That's a go-to for me. Once again, IBD. That is a go-to. And because I thoroughly understand their ranking system. I've read, you know, I still have the book in my library and I go through it and it really goes through his ranking system and how each of those numbers in there. So, yeah,
amazing.
That would be
underrated paper and they show the chart.
Very reliable. Yes. Yes, I do.
Do you subscribe as well? So that's
mentor subscription. But I can also say before I started subscribing, to be honest, I would still read it for free at the library. I would take one day. I mean, it comes out on Saturday. So I would take either Saturday, Sunday or Monday, take an hour or two and just sit in the library and read it for free. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Perfect hack right there. That's a perfect hack. Well, I tell you this, we're coming down to the rapid fire segment. We're going to go three random questions.
Kobe.
First one for you right now, LeBron or Kobe? Well, you go with the Mamba. Okay. I'm a Mamba fan.
I like LeBron, but Kobe.
Mamba gets the nod.
Man.
It's something about shaking a tree and Mamba falls out, man. And it kills everybody. So, okay. Next question.
Ethereum.
Bitcoin or Ethereum?
Yes, most definitely. My background is in corporate accounting. So I know what a ledger is because I built them from scratch. So the blockchain, I've always been a believer in the blockchain and understanding what Ethereum does, like all the other coins are, man, yeah, Ethereum. Yep.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm a Bitcoin fan, big time. My son was the one who turned me on, you know, to Ethereum and broke it down. And it was almost like when he said, "Well, you know, Daddy," kind of blah blah blah, this and that. And you know what? I would like to mine. And I was like, well, what are you talking about? I said, and so I started researching. I was like, so you've been holding this away from me? I said, dude, you know, I'm the guy that will, you know, mama will give me the grocery money and go to the store. And she will say, do not buy the magic jumping beans
right
with this money, because she knows I spend the money on the jumping beans. Because mm-hmm. I said, tell me more about this, and it's time to do it. Mm-hmm. Okay, next, the final rapid fire question. MJ versus anyone else as the GOAT.
Ah,
the GOAT on the hardwood.
It's hard to put any. As far as GOAT, Jordan, it's hard to put anybody against Jordan. So I have to put GOAT. But I'm plug because my favorite player growing up was Shaq.
Okay.
I have to put that plug in. That's my still hands down my favorite player. All three of them. All three.
Orlando,
I follow
Shaq,
from LSU to Orlando to Miami to LA. Well, LA to Miami. So, yep. Oh. Yep. Shaq. Yep.
Right. Okay. That's a big one. I tell you what, man. We close things out. The audience know that where they can get in touch with you. Do you have a YouTube page at all that you a show?
Maybe
that you do?
Yeah, I just post videos off and on. And
okay, you just post videos.
You know, just
off
try
and
to
on.
Give people what they ask for.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, close it out, man. Well, give me your favorite Martin quote from the TV show Martin, or you can go from we can go even further. How we dug a little
I'm
gonna
stick with
day.
Martin
give me your favorite
because that's
quote.
On the mind, but mine is GTD. GTD.
Got
the draws.
What does GTD stand for, Tommy?
Got the draws.
He got the draws. Well, hey, man, I tell you what, Maurice, man, I appreciate you spending time with me on the podcast today. That was a great close, outstanding content. I'm looking forward to meeting you down the road, meeting you and your wife and Noah and my family hooking up. But let's stay in touch.
I'm more than honored that you had me on here, man. And anytime I can come on, I'll add value to anything you're doing. I'm here for you, brother. And I look forward to us meeting definitely in the future. Most definitely.
Absolutely. And GTD, that closed it out, man.
Got the draws. You too, sir. Thank you very much.
All right. You have a good one.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.